Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's another episode of Simply Amazing. Tim Ryder from the Apple. Special guest today, our buddy, if you guys follow along on Twitter, on the Apple, him and Austin have been doing a bang-up job on the socials and such, as well as a few terrific articles as well. Pizza sports guy. I call him my buddy PSG, local pizza shop owner here on Long Island. Terrific takes on Twitter and social media. I've had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of times. And yeah, PSG, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, man. What's happening?
Thanks. What's going on? Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Nothing much. It's just another Sunday night. You were at the stadium today, right?
Absolutely. It was a great time. Walk-off win. First game of this. I've been busy this year. Haven't been able to get out there, but first game and got a walk-off, so I'm happy about it.
You cannot beat that. How was the electricity in the park? I mean, one, you had Ohtani here all weekend. It's a 12 p.m. start on a Sunday. It's a nice day with nice little electricity in the park or what?
Yeah, there felt like there was a little extra buzz in there. You know what I mean? Games I've been to in the past, especially regular season games, you know, they're fun, but it's kind of like, oh, let's walk around. Let's try and get food. Let's grab some drinks. When Ohtani was at the plate, it was like, you know, you had to see it.
That's awesome.
Couldn't leave your seat. Had to make sure you're watching. Even at one point, I was watching from the bridge, and literally everyone on the bridge is just leaning over, all eyes on Ohtani. I mean, it's actually really cool to see. I don't know if I've ever been to a game where it's like all eyes on one player like that. Because, you know, when the game matters, even if there's a dominant player, you're trying to get that guy out. You know, you're just trying to win the game, this and that. With the Mets so far out of it, it was almost like the Ohtani show. It felt like everything was about him.
I mean, that was kind of the vibe all weekend. I mean, I wasn't at the park, but just watching on TV, and you could feel it. You could feel it was palpable, that whole the electricity in the park. And, you know you're looking at greatness. You know that, like what you said, like everyone in the park is just turned and focused on him. It's like going to see a concert, and there's just that one person in a band that everyone is just pinpoint laser focused on. You know, when you're lucky enough to watch Ohtani in person, yeah, whatever he does, whenever he's on the field, whether it's batting practice, whether it's, you know, nothing, you see him and everybody just stops. It must have been an amazing experience. I think we saw him at his best this weekend with the bat. I mean, there wasn't much, fireworks as far as power, but I mean, Saturday night, he was just lacing doubles like, you know, a double and a triple, I should correct myself. Just like it was just doing his job, running around the bases like he's looking like an elegant deer. He's the most impressive baseball player I've ever seen. And, you know, we talked a lot about his injury on the last episode, but does that really change anything for his future? I mean, immediate future, sure, but long-term trajectory, I mean, he's still on that same path, right?
In my mind, yes. I've seen a lot of people, you know, reply to me on Twitter. You know, you have big analyst talk. Maybe it's not the best idea. I wouldn't give him the long-term deal. But I think about it as this, you know, a guy like Aaron Judge last year just got 9 years, I believe, 40 per. And I know the argument is, well, Ohtani doesn't play the field. And I've said this a number of times. I would never doubt this man. If you put him in the outfield, I guarantee you'd probably get above average fielding by the end of the first year. I mean, he did play outfield in Japan. I know it's been some time, but this is a one-of-a-kind athlete we're talking about. We're not talking about putting a guy that's unathletic and doesn't have the speed. He literally has everything. You watch him today, even on the outs he makes, you see his speed. You see his at-bats. You see the fear in the opponent's eyes, basically. It's just he's got it all, and I don't see there not being a team that's going to bid at that level for him where you're shocked that, oh man, instead of 600, 500 million, it's going down to 300 million. I just don't see it. He's still going to get top dollar. The thing I'm really interested to see is how the deal is structured now. Like, could we see opt-outs? Could we see someone attempt what the Mets were allegedly attempting with Correa, where there's an opt-out if he doesn't reach a medical status? Could there be an opt-out if he doesn't reach a certain level pitching? Could there be incentives based off pitching? There's so many ins and outs to this now that what was already the most interesting free agent of all time, in my opinion, just got that much more interesting.
Oh, I couldn't agree more on every front. I mean, imagine being the team or the organization or the franchise or the general manager who backs off the table and says, you know what, I'm not kicking in the extra $100 million for Shohei Ohtani. You know, history may not look kindly on that team, franchise, GM, whatever you have it. You have to assume that regardless of a hiccup in the road or an injury in the case of Ohtani, where, you know, one, he's not going to be pitching for a couple of years. Two, when he comes, well, let's say at least a full season plus.
Yeah, next season we could say he's not pitching pretty much.
Pretty much. But I mean, if he gets on the Bryce Harper rehab plan, if he does indeed definitely need the surgery, gets it as soon as the season ends, you know, can rehab quickly, and let's say he's back by summer, you know, hitting, great, cool. You get Shohei Ohtani, the hitter, for, let's say, you know, 50% of the season in the first year of his deal. By the next year, whether, you know, starting, I've seen the idea of closure being thrown around, and I wouldn't be opposed to that. If I'm bringing him in, you're probably getting, I don't know about similar value, but you're getting, you know, two-sided value, and that really can't be understated. But that's all going to depend on his rehab, what his stuff is like after the surgery, if that does indeed happen. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, but I think between the teams that are interested, Ohtani and his representation, everything can be on the table, and teams are going to be, you know, putting themselves, I don't want to say putting themselves over barrels, but interested teams will make themselves extremely flexible to make this work. And I said it on the show last week, I put it on Twitter this weekend, if the Texas Rangers, and I believe other teams reportedly, were willing to throw out $37 million a year for Jacob deGrom, and he was, by all accounts, as red flag as it gets when it comes to health, what team is going to back off Shohei Ohtani? Nobody. Whoever was in before is still in, and I cannot see them backing off or stopping at any point now. If you want to backload it, if you want to start him at 40 a year, like a Judge contract for the first year, bump him up to 50 for the second. But after that, if he's playing both ways and doing it at that level, you're looking at a $65, $70 million AAV. If you're looking at true value, possibly more. I mean, sky's the limit, and this is a bump in the road as far as I'm concerned. I don't think the bottom line is really going to change all that much.
I don't think so either. And it's one of these things, too, where people have to understand this is not an everyday player. This is a player, when he's playing, it's appointment television. He makes you so much money off the field that whatever he gets, like I was saying to people prior, $600 million is too much hypothetically. This amount's too much hypothetically. He's going to be worth it. He's going to make whatever team he goes to very, very wealthy just off his likeness. He's that type of player. He's that rare of a player. And you know what? Even if he could just hit next year, you know, what's his OPS? Is he leading the league in OPS right now? If he's not, he's right there. He's an unbelievable hitter. And you add him to any lineup, it changes the whole lineup, everything he could do. He's hitting over 300. He hits for power. He runs the bases well. He does everything well. That's what's so much fun about watching him play. Everything he does is great. I've never seen anything like it, especially that he's a two-way player. The real aspect I'm interested to see is it's going to come down to what he wants, I would imagine, because when he sits down with teams in the offseason, I'd imagine one or two teams might approach him and be like, hey, we don't know about you as a starter going forward. And just seeing him as a competitor, I mean, the guy tore, you know, he has his UCL, he blew out his UCL, what, 2-3 days ago, and he's playing, played every game in the series. So he's definitely a competitor. He's going to come back and pitch. You could just tell the way he competes. He's going to come back and pitch. I think he's going to come back and start. And then obviously down the road, if he feels it's too much or the team feels it's too much, yeah, you could see him in a relief role. But I think he's going to at least attempt to become a starting pitcher again because he's just too good of a starting pitcher to just let it go.
Oh, absolutely. And I can't foresee, unless his body or his arm or his health stops him from continuing on that path as far as being a starter. I agree. He'll continue on that path. If his body says no at some point, then you pivot. But you hit it on the nose. Highest OPS in the majors, 1083. Highest OPS plus in the majors, 187. Most total bases in the majors, 317. Highest slugging, 672. Highest OBP in the American League, 412. Hitting 307. Most walks in the American League, 83. Most home runs in the majors, 44. Most triples in the majors, 8. That's ridiculous. That doesn't even make sense.
This is almost Barry Bonds-esque at the plate as far as where he ranks amongst the league. That's the only thing it kind of reminds me of as from my childhood, how good Barry Bonds was in that era. He does things Barry can't do. Obviously the pitching, but he also, you know, at that time Barry wasn't as much of a runner, you know. He wouldn't steal bases. Otani still does this, and there's no reason to believe he won't continue to do it going forward.
Oh, I mean, you know, he's going to finish the season with a 3.14 ERA over 23 starts, striking out 167 in 132 innings.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way. When he tore his UCL, if he did just hang it up and say, I'm just preparing for the following season, he would have still won MVP. He's that good. He's that far ahead of everyone else. I think he still would have ran away with the MVP.
Oh, this year?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I think he still does. Yeah.
That's how good. And that justifies how good he is and how much money he's worth.
Yeah. Oh, just, you know, I think money at this point is obscene. Just the joy that he brings and the thrill. If you're a baseball fan, that thrill that you feel when you're able to watch him or see him or whatever. Even watch a clip on SportsCenter or MLB Network the next morning. It's just like, wow, this guy is unbelievable. That aspect, we could talk about how much money he's going to get, but it doesn't matter. He's earning every penny of it.
Right. And
like, I think we should just sit back and enjoy.
Absolutely. And you think of a game like today, I mean, 12 o'clock game on a Sunday, last place team. Imagine if the Mets were playing the Angels and Otani's not playing. That park's probably pretty much empty. It was pretty close to full just for this guy today. Let's be real.
Oh, probably all weekend. I'm sure you're not going to have crowds like that through the rest of the season.
Yeah, if not for him, I mean, you can't imagine it's half of that.
Yeah, oh, not even. You know, I think if there's going to be an uphill climb for this organization after what they went through this year, and that's probably going to continue through the winter until they really instill some confidence back in the fan base. You know, and we can all pretty much say any dreams of a wild card are all but gone at this point. But, you know, we're still baseball fans and there's still 30 odd games left. And, you know, you want to enjoy it down the stretch. But like you said, it's very tough to imagine that fans are going to be coming out in droves to see a team that's, you know, let's be honest, assembled as a core and some spare parts on both sides of the chalk. It's very, very strange times.
Absolutely. It just kind of feels like an in-between at this point. It feels like let's make it to the end of the season and then we'll make our decisions. I think a lot of us would have expected a guy like Mauricio to be up. You know, maybe we expect a few other guys to be up, and that obviously creates excitement, gives you reason to watch, gives you reason to go. And no disrespect to guys like DJ Stewart and Ruiz and Ortega, but these are not guys that are figuring into the roster next year, you wouldn't think. And if they are, it's probably a team that's not necessarily going for it too much next year. So there's not much level of excitement, but you know, at least the one thing I'm thankful for is they made the decision at the deadline, and they did so because it would be that much tougher of a pill to swallow had they not.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. And I think they made the right move across the board, but I think the clubhouse and the front office are torn right now between trying to reach for that. Well, the front office, of course, wants that draft pick to stay in the organization.
Yeah.
But you have a roster and a clubhouse right now that, you know, you have your core guys who are playing their tails off. We've talked about them on Twitter. We talked about them on the last show. Just over the last seven games, Lindor's at 304, 385, 609. McNeil over his last six is 333, 8+ OPS. Really, everything's in good shape there. But yes, you would like to see the kids come up and let them come up and work at it at this level. I want to see Ronnie up. It's almost like the front office wants this team to get that sixth pick, and these players just are going to fight tooth and nail to produce, because in some cases, these guys are fighting for their livelihoods. In some cases, these guys might be fighting for a job next year, whether it's here or elsewhere. And yeah, the spot, like I said, just it's a very, very weird place. You're only getting two extra roster spots when rosters expand. Pitching has to be capped at 14 pitchers. So you would think that you're going to be adding at least one position player to the mix. I don't know where they stand on pitchers right now on the 20 on the active roster, but I mean, if Ronnie showed all he can, me and you are both avid Ronnie Mauricio fans. He's got to be up soon, right?
I mean, absolutely. And the constant excuse from the naysayers is he can't play a position. He can't play a position. This is a roster that's had Vogel back the whole year. Who's only a DH, who's only left-handed. This is a kid in Ronnie that's tearing up AAA. And I know some will say, oh, you know, the numbers dipped and this and that. I think a lot of that had to do with the little injury he had. You know, you saw, if you look at the numbers right after that injury, there was a 2-3 week spell where he was ice cold. Then he brought it up a little bit. And now suddenly he's heating right back up again. It almost feels like each time they pass a point where you think they're going to call him up and they don't, he gets a little more motivated. I think he hit his 22nd down there yesterday. He's shown all the power. I know the fielding's not there yet, but what better time to give him the opportunity to work on it than now? It's a lost season. Let him get his lumps. I don't think you could hurt his confidence enough that it'll affect him long-term. Let him get at bats at the major league level and go from there. I have been saying for weeks he should be up. I understood the idea, maybe you want to keep his rookie status for next year and maybe some other reasonings, but we're reaching the point where what other excuses do we have other than maybe we're better off going for that top six pick if Ronnie's not in the lineup mashing a few balls here and there?
Yeah, it's tough to even fathom where they might be at this point, but you know, Vientos is back up with the wrist thing. He's going to be all right. You have to assume Beatty's going to be up soon, and Ronnie, I mean, we could talk till our faces are turning blue, but it's going to be up to them to make that call. I want to talk about what we saw out of David Peterson. Well, as of late, I also want to talk about the excitement we saw on Saturday as far as Pete's 17th hit by pitch of the season. We're going to take a really, really quick break. It's a quick episode tonight. Hang tight, and we'll be right back.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back, as noted previously. Pete's a sports guy. You guys know him on Twitter. I call him PSG. We're talking Mets. We're just kind of, I guess, kicking through the muck right now. Mets, you know, won Sunday, but lost two out of three. We got to see some excitement from Shohei Ohtani. That buzz was prevalent on the at the stadium. Just watching the game, you could feel the electricity. We even got a little bit of fireworks on Saturday, and it didn't really have much to do with run scoring, at least on the Mets side. A lot of fury has been directed from Mets fans in regards to the amount of pitches they've been hit by over the last two seasons. Last year led the majors. This year, still in that realm. Pete took his 17th hit by pitch of the season last night. It was a breaking pitch that hit him on like the neck base of the skull, I guess, which is very scary. PSG, what are your thoughts on the situation? Are you at the point you're expecting the Mets to do something? Is it a different game now? I mean, there's a lot of different angles we can take for this. I want to tread carefully, I guess.
I know what you mean. And the bottom line to me, it's very much a different game. I remember listening to a Barry Bonds interview. I believe he was on CC Sabathia's pod. And he was just talking about how different it is. You know, guys today, they pimp home runs, they celebrate, whatever else, which is all good and fun. But you and I both know 20 years ago, if you did that, the next at bat, you're getting beamed. It's not like that now. It's not in the culture. So whenever, you know, you have people that work for SNY and other companies taking to Twitter to say, oh, the Mets need to get revenge and throw at someone on the other end, I disagree with that. I just don't think that's how the game is anymore. You see it here and there, but not like you used to. And, you know, I get Pete being upset. I was upset when he got hit yesterday too. It was a very awkward spot. He kind of turned his head to try to avoid it as he was ducking, and it just caught him like in the back of the neck. Like, it just was a real bad area, and it was scary. And Pete was upset, but I think you put it best on Twitter. If Pete's upset and he feels it's intentional, he could go out there and go after the pitcher. We've seen that. You don't see it as often, but we see it happen every now and then. To call on one of the other pitchers to then throw out a player on the opposing team, I think is a little silly in today's game. I just don't see it as being intentional. I think it got away from him. And I know it's been going on for a while with Mets fans. We got Canna had the most hit by pitches last year. We have Alonso getting hit by 17 this year. It is frustrating, but I think it's just a culmination of everything being frustrating. It's a frustrating season. We have quote unquote leaks from the locker room that it's a toxic locker room and all these other things going on. I think it just fits a narrative that people are trying to say they're not together in the locker room. They don't get along, this and that. They don't defend Pete. But I think it's more to do with today's baseball culture, not the Mets clubhouse.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree with you on pretty much all of that. I mean, let's talk about intent first. And Ronnie Darling on the broadcast, and he's gone over this pretty much every time it's been like egregious that the Mets have been hit. You know, it's very rare that pitchers hit guys with intent to hit guys. It happens. But it's very, very rare. In today's game, pitchers sacrifice, especially, let's say a younger generation, they will sacrifice command for velocity. All that matters is what the Rapsodo is saying. All that matters is how much spin rate they're getting, how much velo they're getting. And you lose the feel to have command and pinpoint accuracy, and that's part of it. And there's guys who can do that, but I don't know if you can have guys actively pitching inside without that pinpoint command that for generations major league pitchers had. You could line up 20 bottles, tell a major league pitcher hit four of them, number three, number seven, number 12, and number 17. And they could, from 60 feet away, they could, because, you know, they're not worried about anything else except for, boom, hitting the black, hitting this spot, hitting that spot. And there are a bunch of guys who can do that. But, you know, unless you have actual intent and guys are throwing at guys, you know, getting into a bean war is only going to cause trouble. You said it. I mentioned it on Twitter today, on Sunday. If Pete's got something to say to these players, to these pitchers, if the Mets have anything to say to these pitchers, it's again, you're within shouting or walking distance. You can go ahead and take care of these things. You know, it's we saw it happen with Jose Ramirez and Tim Anderson, but it's most of these things turn into little shoving matches. No one's going to get hurt. No one's going to get punches thrown. It's rare. The risk is much higher if you get into a bean war, and especially if there's not intent. You're just doing it to send a silly message. It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I guess we'll have to see how it goes. If teams keep on pushing this button against the Mets, yeah, they're going to have to stand up for themselves. And whether it's Pete or whether it's somebody else, or whether it's a pitcher taking it upon themselves to do something about it. You know, go ahead and do it, I guess. But the last thing you want to see is the guy get hurt. The last thing I want to see is people who in the media are, like, you know, calling for players on other teams to get hit with baseballs. That's just dangerous. It's irresponsible. I don't want to name names, but it's just a respectful difference of opinion. I just don't get it. But yeah, I got a little frustrated at that whole scenario. Like, even if Pete's on Pete's end, like, if you're that upset, go do something about it, man. Like, clearly there's no intent, and I get the frustration. And I mean, what else can you do? You can only say, oh, all right, make a better pitch if you want to go inside next time, Mr. Pitcher. But, you know, if you're that upset, go out there and bark. Go out there and get in that pitcher's face and yell at somebody. Make them think next time, oh, man, I should really concentrate more on putting the pitch where I want it to be, instead of, you know, trying to strike everybody out or trying to get on SportsCenter with a fancy, you know, a fancy break, whatever. There's ways to do it. If you're going to pitch inside, if you're going to intimidate, you know, do it the right way. Don't get anybody hurt. Then we get put in these predicaments as fans, as I'm sure as the players are in. Like, it's got to be a rock and a hard place to determine, wow, do I go out there and, you know, get into a physical altercation with someone on a professional baseball field, or do I sit here and take my 20th hit by the end of the season? Like, it's wild. I'm sorry, bro. I took up a lot of space there.
I think it's one of these things too. In the heat of the moment, Pete's upset. But if you asked him after the game, I didn't listen to what he had to say after the game, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was something, or even a day or two later, where it's, you know, I was upset at the moment, but, you know, once I cooled off, I realized it was unintentional. Pitch just got away from him, hit me in an unfortunate spot. And that's that. I mean, he's out there playing. He's fine. You know, it is what it is. Everything's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. You just, you know, like you said, you hate to see it continue to be a thing. You hate to see the nonsense narratives be tossed around. Like, these things must have been discussed in the clubhouse. They're probably discussed all the time. There's probably a course of action that these Mets have in mind, but we're never going to know. It's silly for us to speculate. And that's just not just us. That's in general as fans. Like, you know, we can think about it all we want, but oh, yeah. Oh, you know, this pitcher hit Pete. What, are we going to hit your best player now? No, it doesn't work like that anymore. It hasn't worked like that in a long time. And if guys start doing that, that's only going to lead to trouble. So, yeah.
And the last thing we need is one of our pitchers going out there and hitting Ohtani.
imagine it led to that. Oh, how stupid. That's like, you know, I don't want to know. You know what?
That's how silly this gets. Is you, when you say it like that, you think about it and you're like, wow, that doesn't seem like the best idea.
Yeah, exactly. And you've heard some crazy ideas in the last couple of weeks that, like, really? Is that the direction we want to go with
things? Who else in their lineup could you even, like, the Angels are beat up right now. I know a few guys are out. Trout's out, obviously. But who else in their lineup could really compare to Pete that you're like, okay, we hit him, now we're even. There's no one else.
No, what are you
hitting? The guy you would be hitting is Ohtani.
Nice grab, nice grab.
You want to hurt the best player in the game even more?
Nice grab, Squid. Now you're going to take one in the butt cheek. Like, come on, man. Like, you know, there's again, when there's intent, it's one thing. In today's game, it's hardly ever intent. And if there is intent, man, 9 times out of 10, you got to put it in your pocket and wait for like the perfect opportunity to give it back. You can't do it later in the game. You can't do it the next night. That's just going to cause trouble, especially if it's a divisional game like the Mets have with the Braves last week. You know, you're going to see them couple dozen more dozen or so more times over the next year or two. Like, come on, you know, there's going to be plenty of opportunities to take these things up. Last night, I mean, Pete's frustration spilled over. Oh, there's people were expecting a brawl today. Like, what? You guys got to be kidding me.
I know. And it's, this is a league nowadays too, where most pitchers don't even work the inside part of the plate anymore. I mean, there's not much intent to hit there. It got away from him. I think it was a breaking ball, too.
It was a breaking ball.
And you're not hitting someone with a breaking ball.
No, it was a 79-mile-an-hour curveball. It came off the end of his hand. It happened.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah.
They got to fix the ball. You know that.
Pre-tax. Give me that pre-tax. Speaking of pitching, I wanted to get on Peterson before we finish up. We only got a little time left. You got to be encouraged by what you've seen lately, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even the at-bats Ohtani had against him, he looked really good. I mean, I think he went 7 innings, only gave up 1 run today, couple of hits. And I believe up until the 6th or 7th inning, there was only 1 hit against him. So he's done really well. I think he had to make some adjustments. I think he's making those adjustments. It's just about consistency with him. You've made the adjustments, continue to make them, and make the progress. Don't revert back to what you were earlier in the season.
Yeah. Well, you know, lots of ups and downs for a young pitcher. I think he's finally found his confidence. I said it on Twitter today. I'm taking pitching with conviction back to the people because the last guy he used it was kind of a scumbag. So I'm taking that back. And David Peterson is pitching with conviction these days. I love to see it. His walks have been noticeably down in recent starts. That's going to be huge. He's working out of trouble. And like you said, man, he struck out Ohtani with 95 upstairs and looked overpowering doing it. Not what I would have expected from David Peterson, but love to see it. PSG, this was a quick one tonight, but we're doing this again sometime. I swear, buddy.
Absolutely. You know I'm here for it.
Awesome. 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 Where can everybody find you on social media?
Just on Twitter at Pizza Sports Guy. I got the Instagram going a little bit too. Don't use it as much. So mostly the Twitter at Pizza Sports Guy.
Excellent. Everybody, PSG will be linked all in the description of the pod. We'll put it up on the Apple. You can find his work up on the Apple and follow along the Apple NYM on Twitter. Follow PSG on Twitter. Everything's usually linked up on that front. And my man, we're going to do this again. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. Thanks for having me.
Of course, bro. All right, guys, you know the sign off. It's Let's Fucking Go, Mets. We'll see you next time. Peace.